Hey, it's Beth Phoenix from the WWE, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for another Saturday. It's October 23rd. Holidays today. Mother-in-law Day. National Mole Day. TV talk show host day. None of the above. We want to shout out happy birthday to WWE Diva Carmella. She's 34 today. I'm going to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service and Donuts, Delight Empire Culver. Join Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 267, October 30th. Prelims start at 8, pay-per-view starts at 10, and as always, no cover charge. Hamilton Roller Derby, you want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. And contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join a Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for this Saturday. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. I'm joined by Danger Boy. How's it going, Danger?
Can't complain. Good week, getting a little chillier out there, but enjoying life.
Definitely. How about you? We are joined by Furby as well. Furbs, what's going on?
Not much. Beautiful Saturday. You know, get past the weather, but just happy to be here.
If you like 40 degrees, it's a beautiful Saturday. And we're joined by Rob Sanderson, the artiste. Rob, how's it going?
Good morning. hoping that we get some of this cooler weather between when it was hot and before the other stuff starts that I don't want to mention. So hopefully this will last for a while, and then I'm fine with it. Well, actually, some actual fall weather.
Yeah, we are. I mean, when it's 40 degrees, man, it's like, it's a chilly Saturday morning here, and we are doing this thing live. We want to invite you and all your friends live. Tell your friends that we're here live right now talking the world of pro wrestling, and you can as well join us. But I will mention that I am going to be reading questions from the chat room. So as we go on, but I want to start talking about, we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week, and I don't want to go super long though. We'll go super long if we have to. But I want, we had a lot of things going on this past week, and we have a lot of WWE fans, and the WWE fans, want to know about the Crown Jewel. And someone's feeding back a little bit. I don't know who that is, but someone is feeding back just a little bit. That's okay. We'll get past it. I'll pull the mic away from my face. Okay. Seems like it's solved now. So we want to start off talking about the Crown Jewel. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of AEW stuff going on as well as WWE. But Crown Jewel was this past Thursday. And we call it Blood Money Pay-Per-View. It was started at noon, went to about 4 in the afternoon. And we determined both the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown, I think they called it, the Queen's Crown. And first of all, let's get an overall thoughts on what you thought. Furby, what'd you think of the pay-per-view?
I loved it, actually. It's definitely the best show that they've had in Saudi Arabia. Mansoor stays undefeated in Saudi. Goldberg looked pretty good. The Hell in a Cell match was definitely the best we've seen in years. Edge and Seth definitely tore it down. It was definitely a Hell in a Cell quality match, that's for sure. And then I was just happy to see Xavier Woods actually get the crown. It well deserved, 3 years in the making.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. How about you, Danger? Thoughts on it?
I thought it was a pretty good show. I mean, we all know that not much is going to happen, but they did have a really good Hell in a Cell match. I can actually say the crowd there was fantastic, especially during the Lesnar Reigns match. It gave a really big fight feel. It felt like a WrestleMania match, and it was very entertaining to watch. I enjoyed it. I was watching it while I was working, and it was a good time. I paid attention.
And Artiste, I know I shouldn't ask you this. No, I should, because
I was like, he could just skip me on this. No, you know what? Like, the going into it, the card was good. Going into it, I wanted to not watch it because I hate the whole deal and don't support it. I had it on in the background while I was working. I feel like there were some good decisions. I feel like the crowd was great. From what I saw, it was definitely one of their better shows. There were other parts of it that seemed a little too predictable or maybe didn't live up to expectations. But I think I would probably say that was a good show if it was held in almost anywhere else in the world. I hate the Saudi Arabia deal. I didn't watch the Goldberg match at all. Didn't want to. I basically just refused. I don't, maybe it was good, but I can't do that. So overall, it was fine. I think it's good for them that they brought Lesnar back, but I feel like the way they're going right into another suspended indefinitely, the most predictable thing ever for their part-timer thing, is just lame and stupid and overdone. And I don't like that. I kind of wish Reigns had just beat him cleanly. But it is what it is. So hopefully we don't have to watch another Saudi one for a while, but I'm sure there's, how many, was that like a 10-year deal or some crap?
Something like that. We're going to get one or two every year. I want to shout out some people listening. Rennie Hale, of course. Janet, J-Lou. J-Lou joins us. She's out there listening. Thank you for listening and watching and seeing us in our remote places and whatnot. But, I'll tell you one thing. They had a kickoff match, the Usos tag team against the Hurt Business. That was before everything started. And then the first match was Hell in a Cell. I had to get that out of the way. But they had that red cell. The red cell I call it the Bray Wyatt cell because
that thing is garbage. Please go back to the cell that's not a pain to look through. Like, why does it have to be red?
Yeah.
At least they're not doing the stupid lighting things anymore. But I don't. Wow, it's not like it makes it look more vicious or whatever. Like, what's the point?
True.
It's like when they had to switch the WWF, the old blue steel cage to black to make it like fit the Attitude Era. Like, we know, we can see little pieces of blue paint like sticking through. Like, it's not that big of a deal, but gotta look tough.
Yeah. And all I can remember is just Bray Wyatt being covered or throwing all the chairs on top of Seth Rollins. And stories come out this week about how Seth Rollins, someone had to hold him back from hitting Vince after it because it was Vince finish, and it was really kind of one of the worst Hell in the Cells ever, that finish. But that's when that red cage debuted, when they had the red light whenever he was out there wrestling as the Fiend. So, you know, that started the show, and then we got Mansoor, RK Bro defending their titles. Zelina Vega, surprise. I was surprised by Zelina Vega over Doudrop, though. Doudrop's new. So new, you just can't give it to her.
I thought it was Zelina's from the beginning, honestly. The moment she got the first win in the first round, she seemed most worthy of holding the crown, and her character felt like it was most, you know, made the most sense to be able to wear the crown. Like, Doudrop wearing a crown, running around. To me, it was kind of silly, but Zelina Vega, I think it's her time to start to get elevated a little bit more, and maybe get a shot at the title. Use this victory to elevate herself.
Yeah, it makes sense there.
I mean, I think that's a good choice to win it. The same way I think Woods winning the men's side was kind of a little bit predictable, but a prediction that I think a lot of us wanted. So, like I said, I still wish it was just a one-day tournament. I don't understand why they can't do that when they have their own network. They could easily just put on a King of the Ring special whenever they want to. I think it's important to build up Zelina the same way that they kind of have with Bianca, a little bit with Rhea. Like, it's definitely time to start getting more than just the four horsewomen or whatever at the top of the women's division. I it's nice to see that spread around a little bit. So Zelina is definitely good. And I like that over a more predictable choice. Once again, it seems quick and seemed like they cared about it, but did they care about it kind of thing? Like, if they do another one of those tournaments, I hope they actually give them the real time.
There were rumors coming out all week that they were trying to make the matches quick on like Raw and SmackDown because they knew they were going to be limited time on the Saudi show. So they didn't want those matches to upstage the actual tournament final. So that's why they're having them like 2 1.5 2 minute matches during the tournament so that they could give them 5 6 minutes at Saudi.
Is that because they had a limit as to how much time they could have the women on the show in Saudi Arabia? Or is that their own little decision? I wonder.
Could be either.
I was curious about that because I noticed that, we had one thing in history. We had the first woman to come with to be a referee in a match, and that was during the Hell in a Cell match, and Edge kind of pointed that out and everything. Beyond that, it was, we only got one match with a three-way with the women all covered head to toe. I'm surprised they didn't have to make them wear things over their heads and over their faces and whatnot, but it was a decent match. But, you know, one thing that stood out to me a little bit, was Goldberg, you know, believe it or not, that match, you know, was not, it wasn't the crap fest we all were suspecting. It was okay. You know, I mean, Bobby Lashley was bumping like a champ, you know, and Bobby would bumping as crazy as he was. It was fantastic. And, it was much better than anything we've seen Goldberg do in the last couple of years, at least. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, it was definitely his best match since Dolph Ziggler just sold for him for 45 seconds. I think a lot of the credit goes to Lashley. Lashley made him look fantastic. The match was, the finish was what it was supposed to be, other than, you know, Goldberg didn't actually kill him, which I was waiting for because they, they're going to do that for weeks now. But, it made me not hate that match. I still don't want to see Goldberg on TV, and I know he's gone for a little bit now. But I'm glad it wasn't terrible.
What's you, Verbs? What'd you think?
Yeah, it was definitely the best match he's put on in the last few years. Well, actually, probably since he came back to WWE, to be honest. Maybe the Lesnar-Goldberg Mania match that was just a freaking sprint. But other than that, you know, Lashley looked like a king. Goldberg looked good. He actually was able to post him up for the jackhammer and not drop him on his head. So that was good. I mean, he looked good overall. Everybody really looked good in the match. There was a good pace to it, good tempo. And they told a good story. I'm just not happy with the result, to be honest. I know Goldberg's got to win. Everybody loves Goldberg, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't love Goldberg. And I don't think that Lashley should be losing to a part-timer, especially coming off a very good WWE championship run. So, to me, it just demeans the title. I know they basically use it as a prop, but still, make the title mean something, please. That's all I ask.
So,
well, yeah. I'm just going to say this. He doesn't have the title, so it has nothing to do with the title at this point. And it's a Saudi show. It's not canon.
True. And so we got a couple people message. John Hoff said, since when is a no-holds-barred match a falls-count-anywhere match? Yeah, you make sense. And
I think they announced it during the show that it was going to be Falls Count Anywhere as well when they were doing their entrances or something.
When Goldberg is too gassed to make it anymore, that's the answer apparently. There's pretty cool. Also, no hijab, which is the headwear that the women wear, but still arms and legs covered for the women, and no dewdrop cleavage. Thank you, Rennie. morning, Ivan. Ivan's joining us as well, too. We've got a lot of people out there like listening right now. Thank you. Tell your friends that we're on here now. We're not on the radio, so if you're missing us, that's why, because we're not on the radio. We might be back someday on the radio, but right now we're just doing this because we love the sport so much. And the last thing I want to talk about with the Crown Show, the Blood Money Show, is
it's too early for Crown Royal.
Yeah, no, wait a second. The good stuff. It was good. A good match by Big E defending his title. I enjoyed that. But Roman Reigns, with about six other people, beat and Paul Heyman not changing sides like I had suggested last week. Paul Heyman staying with Roman Reigns, but really it was, you know, I'm getting tired of like these big buildups to screw job matches, you know, that happen when, you know, a gang of people beat one person, you know, that, and I know that usually leads to cage matches and whatnot, but Roman Reigns wins, pins 1, 2, 3. You don't see Brock Lesnar on his back very often. And Brock was on his back and counted three, and then put out a tweet, which is, I thought it was hilarious last night that Roman Reigns comes out and says, and you know, Brock Lesnar was beat so bad he's tweeting now. I thought that was a great line, because, and he did, he tweeted, he said, I'm going to beat every single one up. And what did he come in and do last night? They spent the first half hour beating everybody up. And then we did a commercial break, and then he took out the GM and got suspended. And I think, is this like a delay for WrestleMania? Is this what we're going to get for WrestleMania?
Either Mania or Royal Rumble. I mean, they only have Survivor Series and then nothing until January 1st. So Survivor Series, they already kind of confirmed, is going to be brand versus brand. So you got nothing for Brock for a while. So you suspend him until he comes back, and it's either going to be, I think it's going to be the Rumble, or it's going to be Mania that he comes back and they have him go against Reigns again.
I don't love that. Like, I think those two can have a good match and a good feud, and I kind of wish that Lesnar was sticking around more just now, because I just don't like the, I don't know, subconscious aspect or whatever of it, of like, okay, you're suspended indefinitely, but we know this feud's not over. And I feel like it makes some fans think, whatever Reigns has in terms of defenses in the meantime, he's 100% going to retain, because he's got to hold the title until Brock comes back again. Not that that would be any different anyway. Like, he still shouldn't be losing the title until at least Mania. But that's just the way that I think about it. And I don't love that aspect of it.
Yeah, that was my call from the beginning after, you know, the way the match ended with Paul kind of throwing in the title, kind of looking surprised that the belt got used against him right away. I figured, obviously, this is definitely going to lead up to Mania. Odds on favorite for Brock to win the Royal Rumble. He'll probably be away to the Royal Rumble, show up as a surprise and win it. I could definitely see that happening. I think it's the right direction to go. I'm not happy with the whole suspension thing. I think it's way overplayed, like you said, Rob. But I think this is the big time feud. I mean, look, we've seen this match like what, three times at WrestleMania now, but we haven't seen it from this end where, you know, Brock's the face, Roman's the heel. So it gives it a little bit different perspective. And right now, what Brock's doing is awesome. It's fun. The smiling in the ring, the man bun, the cut off flannels, feet on the table. I'm loving it. I want to see.
Maybe that's why I don't hate him so much right now, is because he's got a man bun. So,
you know, I noticed that last night. He's got that little tuft of hair
sticking up for everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Got a little tuft of hair on it. Man,
I may have one somewhere under. I think Danger and I might have the exact same hat on, actually.
It's,
but
there's a good possibility.
I don't think he has a man bun under his. So,
yeah, Brock's got that. He's got that little tuft of hair on the top, and it's sticking out. Very samurai-ish, I will say. Yeah, you know, the thing is I kind of predicted it was going to be a big swing for Brock to come back as a face. And now it's like, obviously, the people were behind him last night. They just, you know, put him up against the heel who's been built up for a year as this massive heel. You know, I think it's good. I like to see him on the other side, you know, as much as, you know, I mean, this, and the thing is for all the hate he gets for being a part-timer, you know, he's going to get a lot of love, too, I think, you know, showing up.
I will give them credit. I think it's smart to have him as a face because obviously he's somebody who's done so much as a heel in recent years. And you know that a lot of the crowd still loves him and is going to cheer for him anyway. So I think that's a little bit refreshing. I just wish that, like, I don't want to see him win the Royal Rumble. To me, I will always still campaign that I want the Royal Rumble to be won by somebody who hasn't been a world champion before or hasn't won the Royal Rumble before, hasn't already main evented a million pay-per-views. I like it as like an elevating spot most of the time. So if he comes back for Mania, fine. You know what's going to happen. I'm sick of the part-timer stuff, but with him, maybe it's a little bit more okay than with other people. I don't know. I don't want to see him win the Rumble, but to me that's just, there's no reason. Like that's not exciting. That's not like a shocking thing. I think it's once again just burying everybody else on the roster who's going to be there next week and the week after and the week after.
Funny, because normally I rag on the part-timers and stuff, and I'm gonna say this, but if there's one part-timer that I do like, it's Brock. Because he's such a legit badass that he makes every match feel legit. He makes his spots feel legit. You know he can tear up anybody in that ring. So kind of giving that, you know, that big fight feel every time he makes an appearance is like the nostalgia about Brock. He's got kind of like that, I'm at a loss of word of what I want to say, but it's like, you know, anything that Brock is going to do, it's going to mean something, and it's going to be a big time deal.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that he's in and out. I just hate how they use the excuse of the whole suspension.
Just thinking out loud, is there a way that they could just do like a, could they just acknowledge the fact that he has a limited amount of dates on his contract and just be honest with it, as opposed to this fake suspension crap every single time? Yeah. Like, I'm a big deal. I only wrestle this many matches a year, but I'm going to use one for you when I see you in March or April. I don't know. Maybe that's not the way to go about it, but I'm just so sick of the same excuse every time. Like, nobody's buying it.
You know, it's interesting is remember when he came back and did the extra matches a couple of years ago because they needed him to build stuff up, and they paid like an outrageous amount of money. It was like $100,000 in appearance after like 8 appearances for the year, but they had no choice. To build up where they were going, they had to do it. So the WWE's got the money to bring him back, you know, I got a message that this is very funny is Rennie just sent this. He wanted to know if we get a GoFundMe start for protective earmuffs for the camels from the pyro. Did you see the camels there that they had in the arena?
I'm disappointed nobody rode one backwards.
Well, at least Riddle rode one out.
Yeah, but Riddle, man, I don't know. He probably thought it was something else. Probably thought it was a donkey or a cow or something, you know. But yeah, they just need protective earwear from those explosions and stuff that were going on. It was a full. I mean, and that stadium in Riyadh was a gigantic stadium. At least I'll give them credit. No comfy chairs around the outside of the ring, spinning around backwards. You know, I think that they did a good job, at least, you know, making it look like a real regular pay-per-view style show. But let's stop talking about that. I think we got some funny comments though from some people on the message board right now or leaving messages. There was one from George. He says we got to see them. He's talking about the women. He said we got to see them in sweatpants and t-shirts, and they showed those sexy, well-toned arms. That's about it. So yeah, you know, we did see Riddle Ivan ride that one, and that was kind of weird though. But overall, decent show. You know, they've put on a couple pay-per-views now that have been pretty decent. We're not going to get anything now until I don't even know when the next pay-per-view.
Survivor Series.
So we'll see what happens with that as they start building that up. But this week we have a NXT pay-per-view Halloween Havoc that's going to be taking place during the 2 hours of NXT. But I want to shift a little bit and talk. I know we talk a lot about AEW, and I want to talk a little bit about AEW tonight and last night. And what do you guys think of Rampage last night, the one-hour Rampage? It's basically now the first show of the last 2 weeks. Now, this is the last Saturday that we're going to be having AEW on, because this is the last Saturday hockey's going to, I mean, this is the last Wednesday that hockey's going to be pushing it. So don't worry about it changing, being on another time. It will change stations, though, in January. But this is the last week we're getting it on Saturday. But what did you guys think of Rampage last night? Danger, you have any thoughts on the Rampage show?
Andrade and Pac had a really, really good match. And I really want to know what's behind Andrade's tweet that happened later in the night. But other than that, I mean, it's Rampage. It's a good show. I love the hour. I love it only being an hour. And I'm looking forward to Dynamite tonight.
Yeah, it wasn't on the Jericho Cruise, right? Because the Jericho Cruise is going on right now, right?
Oh, they taped it in Miami last week.
Oh, so this is taped there.
Okay. Yeah, the cruise is, I know the cruise is docked today, and I was wondering if anybody on the cruise was, like, leaving the cruise to come to Orlando for the live Dynamite tonight. I don't think that's happening, but not that they need their whole roster. They already have too many people to squeeze into that show. I thought it was a good show overall. Pac and Andrade was awesome. I mean, that's another one of the matches from that show that would go into like the TV match of the year candidate. The rest of the show was okay.
We got Britt Baker.
We got Britt.
We hadn't seen Britt in a while.
We need more of her. I didn't necessarily love how like Ty Conti wasn't out there with Anna Jay, even though she always comes out with Anna Jay, and then she comes out at the end, even though you knew Britt was bringing her crew out there. That didn't make sense. I realized why they did it, but I didn't love that. I like that they're using Powerhouse Hobbs more. You can see the potential he's got, and nice to see him in the last month or so get a couple more singles matches that are, you know, not just matches on Dark or Elevation or whatever. So decent show, and looking forward to tonight as like the part one of the lots of wrestling to watch tonight.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna check. Ooh, sorry about that. My microphone got hit off by my phone. But I was gonna say, tonight is gonna be a smaller crowd for it. We have a preview that they've got Cody Rhodes versus Malakai Black, which we saw kind of appear last night it mysteriously after the lights shut out. When the lights shut out, I always wonder.
I understand with the finger gun. Jeez, this is just going to keep going.
Yeah, and then we got the tournament for the Eliminator tournament for the first round matches are starting tonight too. Danielson, Dustin Rhodes, Lance Archer versus Eddie Kingston. And then the TBS championship tournament starts, and they announced officially that there's going to be 12 women in this tournament. We've got two first rounders, Penelope Ford versus Ruby Soho and Serena Deeb versus Sheeta, and Jungle Boy versus Brandon Cutler tonight. So we got, it's a pretty solid show to watch tonight, definitely. And maybe Daniel Garcia will make it on somehow, because now that he's signed, he's All Elite now, which is really cool, pretty cool. But we got a
solid, now that they finally announced it.
They did finally announce it. Yeah. So how long do you know, Rob?
I think it's been out there for a while. I mean, it doesn't really change much, because he's still got the ability to do, like, he's going to, I can't say that.
Independence? No.
He's still got indie dates coming up and everything. It's not going to totally change that much other than, like, his income and stuff. But, I mean, he's been on every week one way or another, and that'll continue. He'll still do some other dates and stuff. I just think the amount of indie dates he's taking will probably decrease, I would say, which is fair, because he's had so many amazing matches, especially on the indies in the last few months, that he's in that position right now where he basically, anytime he's working in the indie show, he's being given a really good opponent and therefore is usually expected to go 20 minutes and have a banger of a match, have the match of the night, have all of these like grueling matches, and then fly cross country, do the same thing the next day and the next day, where now he might be able to kind of scale it back and not have to be the guy every day all over the country, and focus a little more on the AEW side. But super happy for him. I know he's still he's defending his ESW title next month in Niagara Falls against his best friend Kevin Blackwood, which will be a lot of fun to see that. So
yeah, you know, you mentioned that crazy schedule he had back when a couple weeks ago, I think it was, and yeah. You know, maybe that's a big relief, is he can actually, you know, ease back a little bit on that and not have to be, you know, not sleep and fly continuously around, you know, the country. So good for him.
I mean, that was the one thing I would try to help him out a little bit with, a 2CW one that he we knew he was going to be in a great match, you know, one way or another. We had to switch things. I don't want to get into it, but we had to switch things where it was originally going to be him and Rich Swann in Syracuse, and we switched it not even 2 hours in advance to Garcia versus Colin Delaney versus Dalton Castle, which I was pumped about switching it to that. Like, I wanted to see the original match, and I still want to see that at some point, but I loved what we were able to switch it to. But that was also on purpose, put on second on the show so Garcia could get out of there, travel back to Buffalo, get to the airport by 4 a.m. to fly to LA to work the next day and all that stuff. Like, so he didn't have to go 20 minutes on that show, but pretty much everywhere else when he's working Suzuki and Shelley and all these matches, I mean, he's being forced to put on, like, he's like, a lot of wrestlers have been in that situation where you can't go out there and half-ass it because, like, you're that, like, there's that expectation level, like, when you start to get hot and you're the guy that's getting booked that everybody wants to book and stuff, that it's like you're not allowed to have like an easy or average night. So hopefully he won't get too burned out. I mean, he's only 23, but I'm just, again, really happy that he got signed, and there's even more and more New York State representation on that roster.
Hey, while we're speaking about it, why don't you talk about the new album dropped by your favorite band this past week. And, well, I mean, and also one of your favorite wrestlers as well.
Yeah. I mean, that came out Friday at midnight. So like a day and a half ago, but I don't know, like, that's what's going to be interesting is it was nice to finally see Andy come back to the wrestling side after he recovered from the injury/surgery. But now they're at a point where the album came out after over 5 years of waiting, and they've got three tours basically in a row. So I don't think you're going to see as much of the Butcher and the Blade. I think the Blade got his own singles t-shirt this week too. And I think it's going to be kind of, it works because they're in that whole Hardy Family Office thing. But I know there are a bunch of AEW dates that Butch will not be at, but now he's got to finally, like, he had that really nice period of time where he could just focus on wrestling, didn't have to worry about the band stuff because they weren't doing much during the pandemic. But now we'll start to see that conflict of schedule.
I thought maybe he was doing stuff with the album too, that when he was gone.
No, because they recorded that like right before the pandemic hit, actually. And then they've just been kind of sitting on it because they didn't want to put it out while they couldn't tour it. They didn't want people to kind of get bored with it and whatever. So that's been kind of just sitting in the can. So I don't know. Hopefully you'll still get some more dates in. I know, like, they've got a show the same night as like Full Gear and stuff. So things like that, where unfortunately I think he's going to lose a little bit of that wrestling momentum, but I mean, I'm happy about it from a band side of things. So, and I saw another quote. There was an article on Garcia, Sports Illustrated maybe, and they had a quote, a really nice quote from Punk about Garcia, and then Punk also said in that, like, no wonder he's good because he's learned from Pepper Parks, the Blade. And Punk went on to say, like, that guy's a effing fantastic wrestler or something, whatever. So Punk was putting over Pepper as well, which is nice to hear. So,
oh, definitely, definitely. And just heads up, if you're on, if you're following us on Facebook Live, you can leave comments and I'll read them. So just keep putting more comments in there. But yeah, that. So we got a solid show tonight, and then of course Bound for Glory is tonight too.
Real quick, why is Brandon Cutler in a live match on Dynamite though?
I don't know. That's a good question. That against Cody.
I know you can't always have like main event level matches on every match, but like they announced that last night. I was like, that match doesn't even need to be announced if you're going to give him a match on Dynamite.
Yeah, yeah. Jungle Boy and Brandon Cutler coming, the you know, part. Yeah. What do you think, Ferbs?
I was going to say, at least the match makes sense. I mean, the with Jungle Boy, you know, choking out Cutler last week, the ring after the rest of the Super Click or Elite left Cutler stranded by himself. So, I mean, at least there was some build up, obviously, between those two teams going back and forth.
Yeah, it's just one of those matches where you know that there's no chance of like Cutler winning cleanly. So, like, is there a point to it? I don't know. Hopefully, it won't be too long.
Yeah, I was gonna say and it's funny is as much as we're talking about AEW and people are still talking about Crown Jewel there in the and the message.
It'd be more entertaining if they were talking about Crown Royal. One of them might be drinking a little Crown Royal and watching some stations that have the same mandates they're complaining about, but. Other than that,
true. So you were watching too as well, Danger Boy.
Yes,
so,
I am.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Bound for Glory because that's tonight as well. Bound for Glory, the WrestleMania of Impact Wrestling. Bound for Glory, and unfortunately, it's going to be going up head to head with AEW for a little bit, or most of it. Definitely.
I don't think so. Bound for Glory is starting at 10 p.m.
tonight. Oh, is it 10 p.m.? That's right, because it's
because they're in Vegas.
That's right. They're it's a different. So we will not. We'll get. So it'll be once again another 5 hour, 6 hour block of wrestling like we had like last week. You know. Yeah, I know. Woo. So we got. But man, this is a solid Bound for Glory show. I think much better. I mean, listen, we went to Ferbs and watched this. What was it, last year or the year before? I can't remember.
We saw a Slammiversary at my house.
Oh, was it Slammiversary?
Last year.
That's
last
right.
Year we were all watching it from our couch.
That's right. So, but the
what exactly did Brock Lesnar break free from some of the nonsensical rules of the COVID era? What what COVID era rules are we talking about?
Like I said, Crown Royal, watching a station that requires vaccine mandates of all their on-air personnel, but then bitches about them.
Interesting.
I shouldn't have even brought it back up, but yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out so I can scroll up. What?
Oh, Bound for Glory. Right.
I don't know what restrictions Brock Lesnar was facing that he's trying to overcome.
Well, he's the new Steve Austin, apparently. That's one of the mentions.
Bound for Glory.
Bound for Glory, which is $40. Okay, someone was saying, isn't it, you know, great that Peacock's only $4.99? But listen, you know what? I paid for AEW the last pay per view, and you know, Bound for Glory.
Peacock should pay you to have it. It sucks.
I got to watch Halloween on it last week too. So you know, at least there's something else on Peacock besides WWE. But we've got us. Go ahead.
I mean, I know people don't want to pay for pay-per-views in this day and age because everybody loves to just get everything for free. And I understand, you know, it's tough. But to complain that companies like Impact or AEW are asking, you know, $39.99 or $49.99 for a pay-per-view, well, guess what? They only run like 4 pay-per-views a year. It's not WWE where you get a show every week. So, like, come on, people. If you want to support the companies that you watch,
yeah,
put it up.
And well, and the thing with the like Impact's a little different because they have their own app and they have 20 years of content that are more most of those years of content they can actually have on that app. Obviously, there's a lot still missing there, but
yeah.
AEW is kind of in a tough position because like a lot of people have said like, oh, like when are we getting an AEW app? And I know Tony Khan spoke about that recently, but the company hasn't existed that long. Like they really don't have that much that they could put on there.
Yeah,
sure, they could figure something out. They could put some exclusives on there. They could theoretically like put dark or elevation only on there, whatever, like they're trying to entice people. But it's not like they have decades of shows that they can just put up there and make people pay $10 a month for or whatever.
I did hear Tony Khan say that that's one of the reasons they have so many of these off network TV shows, you know, because they are building up building it up for something. So I
think the last couple Wednesdays, you see, you know, they're trying to build their library too. I mean, the last two Wednesdays they did, you know, best of dark and elevation matches for 3 hours on YouTube. That's just extra content that if they do go with the streaming channel eventually, that's something that they could add on there, do different specials. I mean, WWE does best of all the time. And so, I mean, that's just more that AEW can pick from, you know, going forward.
Yeah. So, we were talking about Bound for Glory, and we kind of veered off a little bit about pay-per-view prices, but, this Bound for Glory is going to be interesting because there's a lot, because once again, like last year when they did Bound for Glory, there's a few free agents out there that have not, signed with anybody yet. And a lot of people are speculating in air quotes. I mean, you're probably seeing in the video, so it's not air quotes, it's quote air quotes. So nevertheless, Braun Strowman's name has been thrown around a lot this week.
Yeah, he's going to be going by the Titan, I think.
The Titan. So he's
American Gladiators.
That's the first thing that I thought.
I hope Laser's going to be there too.
No, I was thinking of Rick Titan, who was the fake Razor Ramon. Wasn't that his name? Was it Rick Titan?
Yeah, I try to forget that era. I don't know.
Well, yeah, he's going by. So he may be debuting tonight on Bound for Glory. Bray Wyatt is a free agent and is allowed to go wherever he wants to go.
He's got another week.
There's still another week.
Oh, is there another week? Okay, yeah. So we will not be seeing Bray, but they could tease, you know, with a video or something, you know, without showing them, you know, which is, you know, I mean, how long did we see the Wyatt family teases before we actually saw them for the first time? So, you know, you can always start with that. But we got, I mean, listen, this is a solid pay-per-view. Christian Cage and Josh Alexander in the main event. Josh Alexander really stepped his game up when he lost his tag partner, you know. I mean, he really did step. I mean, he's an excellent, excellent wrestler. I mean, without a doubt, you know. Headgear and all, you know. I mean, he is, you know, that's going to be one heck of a main event.
And they're doing a great job of building this match, too. I mean, last 2 weeks, the final segment of their show is either a sit-down interview or a promo building up the match. I mean, for a guy who was, in most recent, really just a tag team wrestler, Josh Alexander, building up that similarity of the, you know, rise to the top as Christian. So I love the continuity of it, and I think we see Josh Alexander on top.
I'm happy for it. I mean, there's been how many shows in Western New York and Southern Ontario he's been on over the last 10, 20 years and stuff. And I'm a fan of his. I think he's a great wrestler. I think it's always nice again to see like a new face on top. But I agree. I love the way they've been building it up. And I think that's not a main event that you could just have out of nowhere. But they have done a good job of building it up to make it seem important, to make Josh Alexander seem like the credible opponent and challenger. And that's the match. I feel like it's rare for me to say that like the match that I'm looking forward to the most on a wrestling pay-per-view these days is the main event. But that is the match I'm looking forward to the most in all of wrestling tonight.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder too. And by the way, I figured out what that feedback sound was. Sorry. It makes you wonder what Christian's deal is with AEW, and you know, is it like a shared type of thing? Is he done after this?
There's a good chance that this crossover stuff between AEW and Impact could be done for a while after tonight. There were small rumors of potentially Deanna and Britt working together. Whether it would be title for title or whether it would be a tag team for the Impact Tag Team women's titles, that was also brought up. So I think if Christian does drop the title tonight, it'll be the last time we see besides the Good Brothers, I mean, at this point, they're just synonymous with both shows. But I think this could be the last time we see some AEW on Impact for a while.
Well, yeah. I don't know if that's good, you know.
I mean, they didn't really do any. They didn't really do anything with it after the Kenny Omega, and really, it wasn't even anything other than Kenny Omega showing up on Impact. So, what really crossover did they do?
Yeah, and yeah,
it was disappointing in the end. It was super exciting when it was starting and all the possibilities, and we really didn't get nearly as much as we could have pitched or wanted. And even thinking about things that they teased that then never happened, like remember when. Am I making this up that Jay White came out and kind of stared down Kenny Omega and that didn't happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that was all on Impact too. That stare down happened.
Yeah.
Was that part of the Forbidden Door? I believe the Jay White appearance. I think, you know,
that was the last Impact pay-per-view, right? And then they're teased, like they had like all the logos or whatever, like all these companies are going to be involved in Bound for Glory. And like,
yeah, yeah, I think so. Really, I think you're right. And speaking of New Japan real quick, Buddy Matthews.
Yeah.
Buddy signed with New Japan.
Buddy Murphy, you might remember him as, you know, in WWE. Yeah, he, well, good, because he needed to go someplace, that's for sure. But, yeah, you know, I would say about just being disappointed about it, I think that they were really into it in the beginning, and then it seems like, you know, once Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone stopped showing up in commercials on Impact TV, it's like, and then Don Callis being let go by Impact and being hired by AEW.
Well, think of this too. I mean, it had to be tough with Impact being a taped show and AEW being a live show. You got to plan so many things out in advance. And if something were to happen, some guy gets injured or something changes, like you're kind of lost. Like you lose any chance of building anything with that, because if something happened, like I said, now all of a sudden you lose a storyline on Impact, but that Impact storyline would have to run another couple times and you might not have anywhere to go from there.
And they're still tethered by, you know, by the Good Brothers. Okay. They're still, you know, because I think those guys are just as important coming out with Omega than they are being the Impact tag champions, but they are, you know, and I always heard and thought at one point that maybe they had signed a deal in which allowed them maybe to work both companies, but AEW obviously wanted them by having them, you know, be up. They're coming every week now. So, but they're in a match actually for the tag titles. We're going to get them versus Finn Juice versus the Bullet Club.
I hesitate to even call them the Bullet Club. I know that they're in it, whatever, and stuff, but like, when I think of the Bullet Club, I don't think of Chris Bay and Hikuleo, but I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And I, in terms of the Good Brothers, like I would prefer for them to still be coming out with the Bucks and Omega and everything, but it does feel like that's transitioned to, I mean, really the focus is going to be Adam Cole and the Bucks. And so I don't know if they still need the Good Brothers for that or not, but I'm not opposed to them being part of it.
Yeah. By the way, what'd you think of, was it last Saturday when Adam Cole was in the match and the Dark Order kissed him?
I love that spot. That was hilarious.
That was hilarious because he's like, what?
Adam Cole, it showed again, though, like what he can do with like those little, like the way he sold that with his face and stuff was just, it was gold. So I will say, like, I don't think we've gotten too much into it. Like, everybody talks so much about how great it is that AEW's got Danielson and Punk and Ruby and more people coming, whatever. And
apparently
stuff.
Will Ospreay.
Adam Cole is the guy. Like, Adam Cole is the biggest acquisition, I think. He's going to be the guy for that company. He's going to be world champion in that company. He can lead that company, be the face of that company. Like, I think in the end, like, if we reevaluate things in a couple years or whatever, that's going to be the signing that maybe didn't bring in more people than Punk or Daniel or whatever now, but that's going to be the signing that was like the biggest get for them.
Well, we got to thank Bruce Pritchard for that, because Bruce friggin' suggested him being a manager, and that was enough to make him say, I'm not signing a contract, you know? So Danger, what
I
do you think?
They're teasing, they're making like jokes about that on BTE.
Danger, what do you think about big surprises tonight, Bound for Glory, you know?
I don't know how much they're going to have as a surprise. I mean, it's from what everybody has saying and what's out there that, you know, we're going to see Adam Shearer tonight. We're going to see Titan. We're going to see the former Braun Strowman. But other than that, I don't know who they're going to bring in. I don't know. I mean, there's always, they've started the things for Suzuki coming in, Minoru Suzuki. So maybe he shows up. I don't know. We'll see.
Is he on the GCW show tonight? Or I know that Impact kind of made it sound like Suzuki is coming after Bound for Glory, because I think he's on the tapings like tomorrow and Monday, I think.
Yeah.
So no, I would love to see him tonight on that, because I think I've seen all of the Suzuki matches one way or another in the past month or so, and I can't get enough. Like, yeah, I just
Suzuki's on it. GCW tonight. Chris Dickinson, so he will not be at Bound for Glory.
Interesting. So
I thought that was the Bloodsport match last night. Maybe I was wrong. Was Suzuki on Bloodsport last night?
Could have been. Actually, it might have happened 12 hours ago. So not bad. I read an old tweet.
I will say that George is on the message board here, and he says that Chris Jericho said that Will Ospreay is coming to AEW. So I don't know if
he's coming to MLW too.
So. Yeah, he's coming everywhere. But nevertheless, he. Will Ospreay, you know, when it comes to AEW, would be a benefit. But right now, I think Adam Cole was a great sign pickup when you were just saying, Rob, I know there was something terrible there. So, what did you do? Okay. So,
Priestley doesn't listen to this show.
Yeah. So let's see. You know what I'm thinking? This is what I'm thinking. Adam Shearer is going to show up after the 20-man call your shot gauntlet match when Morrissey wins it, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. That's what my first thought was, two of those two bumping heads.
Why not? You know, they never really worked together in the WWE. I've seen some really cool pictures, by the way, recently of when Adam Shearer was part of Bray Wyatt's family, and some funny shots of them all sitting on a couch playing video games or something, you know, just, you know, some really behind the scenes stuff, you know, really, you know, and really you see how tight these folks were, you know, when they were working together, you know.
And just to see Adam Shearer's body transformation over the last, like, 6 years from when he debuted in the Wyatt family to what he is now. It's insane. Like, I mean, he's always been a big guy, but he was a little chunky, and now he is freaking shredded. Well,
yeah. When he was a Viking and Adam Rose's group, he was a Rosebud. He was the Viking, you know, but so was Becky Lynch. She was in that group too. So, you know, there was a bunch of, if you go back and look at some of that stuff from like 6 or 7 years ago and you realize how many of these people are still with,
like,
the company.
Half the Rosebuds are stars now.
Yeah, definitely. Whatever happened to Adam
Rose? I don't think Garcia ever was. A lot of those Buffalo brothers did it at one point too. Just to wrap that up real quick, Suzuki Dickinson was last night at Bloodsport. Suzuki Nick Gage is tonight at GCW from LA. So there is also GCW on top of Bound for Glory and Dynamite and everything else going on. There's so much wrestling these days.
Okay, so just to wrap up the rest of this pay-per-view, and apparently this is going to go to like 2 in the morning then too. So, I mean, I'm guessing if it starts at 10, it'll go at least that long. Okay. We got Mickie James and Deonna Purrazza for the championship. Deonna Purrazza comes out with two belts on the show last week, and Mickie James actually wrestled on Impact this past week, so Mickie James, you know, is in fine form and ready to go. Super excited about that. We got the Impact Knockout Tag Team match, the Inspirations, Cassie Lee and Jessica McKay versus the Decay, Rosemary and Havoc. You know, I find
I'm already sick of the Inspirations' new theme song.
Yeah,
I can't stand it.
Well, you know what?
I love the music video. I'm not complaining.
Rob, listen to it.
If you watch it on mute, that's fine.
Listen to it 57 times while you're driving to Watertown. We got the Triple Threat Tournament Finals for the vacated Impact X title. Trey Miguel, Steve Maglin, and El Fantasmo, which I think is a fantastic wrestler. This is going to be a great match, too, three-way. 20-man call your shot gauntlet match with everybody else who is not on in a match is going to be there. Saban, Swan, Myers, Moose, a couple surprises. You know, we got Heath and Rhino versus Violent by Design. That's going to be going on as well. And then we have, this is interesting, the Countdown to Glory pre-show is going to have the six-way tournament finals for the inaugural Impact Digital Media title. Men and women in this match.
Just makes me cringe when I hear Digital Media Championship. Come on.
And it's so far.
Keywords, man.
I'm not a big fan of how they're kind of building up this title, to be honest. I mean, all the matches have basically been on whether you're an Impact insider. So really, unless you subscribe to that, you're not seeing any of the matches. So like, you don't really know what's going on. They haven't talked about it at all on Impact's television show, really. I mean, they've mentioned it a few times, but nothing actually of like who's really advanced. They all of a sudden, I mean, Josh Matthews didn't even know who was in the match. He said Sam Beal won this past week, and it was Fala Ba who actually won. So yeah. I don't know.
This is just the next championship that gets introduced in wrestling that will be gone within a year or two.
It's just
so enjoy it while it lasts.
Maybe it'll only be defended on their digital platform, you know.
10 years from now, people will be like, remember when that Impact Wrestling company had that digital media championship? Yeah.
And the funny thing is, one of the biggest like digital media or internet champions wasn't even in the tournament. Cardona wasn't even in the tournament.
Yeah, he made his own
belt. His fiance will win tonight.
Yeah.
And then they'll each have their own little.
Well, it's funny. Yeah. This is what we've got. It's going to be a six-way with Skyler, Crazy Steve, Fala Ba, Jordan Grace, Chelsea Green, and Tennille Dashwood. So,
no, it's Madison Rain now.
Oh, is it Madison Rain?
Instead of, No,
yeah. Tennille. Okay. So
it is not all about her tonight.
It certainly is not. But Tennille also posts.
Kelsey's got to win it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's the only logical choice at this point.
Interesting. So, and that's on the free show. So, you should be able to see that, I think, on Access TV, because I think they're going to be running the pre show on Access TV as well as Fight TV, where you can get this pay per view. I'm excited. It sounds good. You know, I mean, it sounds like a blast. It's just a mere 12 hours or less than 12 hours from right this moment. We got a lot of wrestling going on. Definitely a lot of wrestling going on this weekend. Tonight, and there will be a crossover because the finale of the Cody Rhodes show is at 10 o'clock. On TNT.
How could we forget that?
On TNT, and it's going to be going up against Bound for Glory. So,
oh, that changes my schedule for watching TV.
Somebody call Scott D'Amore and be like, can you just hold off a minute? I got to watch the finale of Rhodes.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe there'd be a Divas, what's that Divas show that was on? Divas.
Total Divas?
Total Divas. It'd be like a marathon on one of the
Total
channels.
Total Divas is Emmy Award winning footage compared to what's Rhodes for the Top is.
Yeah. Roads to the Top is, yeah, it's interesting. I'll say.
I mean, Roads to the Top did, blur out Stu Grayson while showing
Evil Uno.
Yeah.
Evil Uno. So, yeah, they're really doing a great job of that.
Well, yeah, they're drawing 500,000 people a show. So that's still not a bad number, you know, I mean, for reality TV on TNT. But, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll not get a season two of that. That's for sure. So let's see.
Even there was a promo last night, I think, where Cody's talking about him and Brandy and like, we are not just wrestlers. We're also executives. Whatever. Well, first of all, like you're a wrestler, but well, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like, are you both wrestlers first? Like, do we need to talk much about how people can't wait for Brandy to get back in the ring?
No,
I like Brandy, but I don't like. It's not because of the wrestling.
No,
and you don't have a countdown clock with X's that you're X'ing off the days till she comes back.
Remember, Brandy in the WWE was trained as a wrestler, but was a ring announcer by trade. Because
she was one of the best ring announcers that there's been in recent years. I will say that. Like, I thought she was really good at that. I think she can talk. She can serve a purpose or whatever, but I just don't think that there's too many wrestlers out there that are getting the occasional TV time that aren't fully polished or whatever and need to get to more of their potential before they're given TV time in matches.
It's funny.
There's a lot of people in that category right now that are getting occasional matches in AEW on TV that I don't think are ready.
You know, it's funny. I was watching, it was a video clip of Bret Hart yesterday being, he was like on the, it was maybe the Phil Donahue or one of those shows from back in the 80s. And he's like got his champion WWE championship belt over his shoulder. And they're at, Edge was in the crowd. He was 19 and he had got to ask him a question and it was really pretty cool. But then the host, it was Sally Jesse Raphael, and the host comes back and she goes, "So how do you like get signed by WWE? Do you like negotiate this before it happens?" And then Bret Hart proceeds to tell the whole story about how you got to keep working. You know, if you, and he's telling those guys too, you got to keep working. That's how you get signed by these companies, is you have to keep working. You got to get better. You got to keep working. And it's not like, you know, I think that Sally Jesse Raphael was kind of had like no idea what it took to get into the WWE. She thought you just, you know, you say you're a wrestler and you sign a contract and boom, you're in the company. You know, it's like, it's a difficult business to get into and stay on top. And it was just funny because this is like back in the 80s. I mean, Edge is 19. I don't know how old he is now, in his 40s at least. So it was pretty cool clip, but it just reminded me of how difficult it is to get to anywhere where you can be seen by people wrestling, and how we really are spoiled by having all these different shows and seeing this great wrestling all across the world. And, you know, and even locally too, you know, and I mean, and Rob, I watched part of the 2CW show this past week. You guys were streaming. What a fun show that was, you know. It seemed like it had some problems in the beginning. I kept getting this like looping clip of the beginning of the captain coming out, and it kept doing it over and over in the beginning. But beyond that, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and just an old 2CW gimmick that came back. That yeah. Luckily, at least that was part of the pre-show live, but I didn't know if it needed to make the stream or not, but
it did.
No, I was really happy with that. Yeah. It was fun to kind of watch that broadcast when it went out on Tuesday. I mean, I helped with some of the like little things with it, like from a production side, but
well, you're also with the announcer too, so you know.
Yeah. But I don't know. I thought that show was really good. I would probably say I liked the Syracuse show better. But they both had a lot of fun moments and great matches. And yeah, I don't know. Furby, did you prefer one of those two shows over the other?
I liked the Syracuse one because it felt more of like bigger. A 2CW show, I guess. The Binghamton one, I was happy either way. I mean, Deanna was there. So, I mean, that was really the only reason I was there. But yeah. I mean, I liked both shows, so I can't really complain. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I just got a question from somebody.
So this has been my big project this week, is making these old school cards for both shows that we put on sale. But they ended up being a lot of work, but I'm pretty proud of the way they came out.
Oh, so. Definitely. Those are cool. Those are like the old ones used to get here at the Blue Cross Arena. Yeah.
The way to try to replicate these was, this was one of the most time-consuming things ever, even though it looks so simple in the end. But check out the 2CW page if you want some of these limited edition prints. Those start to ship today.
So we got a question from someone who's on the not my dog, by the way, either. She's barking like crazy.
It sounds like a question.
Tara, it's okay.
Something really urgent.
No, but someone last night on SmackDown, they want to bring it up, and we might as well talk about it. At the end of the show, they brought out both the champions, SmackDown Women's Champion and the Raw Women's Champion, and they swapped belts. And that's how they determined who was getting, or you know, because Charlotte was coming to SmackDown and Becky was going to Raw. And it was kind of weird because basically they just swapped belts, you know. It's like, and then I loved it because Becky threw hers at Charlotte. Both of these girls are heels. So it's like, I thought that, you know, I mean, obviously nobody was happy about any of it. You know, the crowd were booing and stuff. But as funny as Charlotte handed hers over and then Becky threw hers at Charlotte, which I thought was pretty cool. But what do you guys, do you think, you know, I mean, is this kind of like, you know,
You did see that was actually kind of a shoot, right?
Yeah, was that really?
Charlotte was never supposed to drop her belt on the ground like that. She was complaining backstage earlier in the day about this making her look weak and not wanting to do the segment. So Becky took that as disrespect, and they had a huge blow up backstage after the show ended.
Really?
Yes.
I did not hear that, but it's like, cause yeah, Charlotte's hit the ground, you know, and she had to pick it up off the ground.
It was not supposed to. Sonya Deville actually got stuck in the middle there trying to police what was going on in real life.
You got to figure none of these people had any sleep if they were in Riyadh, just, you know, less than, you know, a 24.
Charlotte was nice and rested.
Oh yeah. She was on the beach with Andrade.
This doesn't count as like a new title win in the,
oh, it will,
the numbers or the,
it, yeah. I wonder in our fantasy league what it counts as. Cause it's like,
it is. And that's what I'm sick of, because WWE again, can't do anything original. They did this last year between the Street Profits and the New Day. They got the New Day, their 10th SmackDown championship, or WWE Tag Team Championship, just by the flip-flop. Now, we all know WWE loves adding numbers to Miss Charlotte Flair, and now she's a 13-time women's champion because of this. And when you want to talk about numbers and prestige of title reigns, this is just another way for WWE to pad the numbers. And it pisses me off.
Well, I didn't realize that there was some shoot behind that when it came to it, because they both look kind of ticked, but I figured this is something that they knew was coming when they were drafted, you know?
Well, they knew that part was coming, but they figured they would work something, like Charlotte wanted to have a match or do something to protect it, because she feels she built up the Raw title and it has a certain prestige, and this made it look weak, which she's not wrong. It's stupid. Everyone knows it's stupid.
It's the worst way to do it. If you're going to have a Raw Women's Championship match before Saudi on Monday Night Raw as the main event, drop the title. If you're going to have a Triple Threat Women's Championship match for the SmackDown title on Saudi Arabia, drop the title. That's all you got to do to transition. Like, I know you don't want to take them off your two biggest stars in the women's division, but this whole swapping thing is just so silly and stupid. It's like,
it takes me back to when Triple H was handed the heavyweight title on Raw.
And maybe I wouldn't be having such a gripe about it if it was like the first time, or not the first time, but if they didn't actually just do it last year too. They did it last year with the tag team titles. Now they did it again with the women's title. It's just, I don't know. I just don't agree. I don't agree.
And then this is something, too, that they could also have hidden from people. They didn't have to do it in the middle of the ring to end the show, especially if there was some real heat between everybody, you know. It's interesting. It's interesting what's going to come out of this. I mean, obviously, Becky and Charlotte were very, very good friends at one time. I don't know if that's the case anymore after what happened, because Becky threw the damn belt at her. You know, it's like... I'm going to go back and watch it now, because there was some real, I guess if there was some reality behind the tension that was going on out there, you know, then I definitely want to rewatch that segment, because I was just kind of thought it was just awkward anyways to end a show with that, you know. Danger, thank you for pointing that out. I did not know there was any reality behind that.
Yeah, I don't know if the beginning, like when they come out, I don't know how ticked they are at each other, but I'm pretty sure after Charlotte drops the title on the ground, and just when Becky tries to grab it, she just kind of throws it away.
Yeah.
To the ground. I'm pretty sure that's when things start to escalate a bit.
Okay, I was gonna say yeah, because she's like supposed to hand it over, and she just drops it. You know, it's like, that's not the way you. And Vince McMahon probably was flipping out in the gorilla position, because you know those belts don't go on the ground, not like that, not in that situation.
Yeah, Vince was upset that Charlotte didn't go to him first to talk about it.
Interesting. I have not seen. I mean, I guess I should catch up in the morning on the news. But man, let's see what else we got to talk about. Move a little bit. Did you realize the Undertaker was in Riyadh too for the Crown Jewel there, and we never once saw him.
Yeah, he's Mr. Worldwide. Good.
Yeah, I was gonna say he showed up at Pitbull's concert.
He introduced Pitbull, because I guess this is all part of a festival. But it's like I heard he was in full deck Undertaker outfit too. So.
The only thing I like less than watching a Saudi Arabia WWE show is a Pitbull concert. I'm glad Taker did not show up on Crown Jewel. Like, this is not, he does not need to keep making appearances. We went through the long retirement process, whatever. Like, it should be, he shouldn't be putting that outfit on anymore. Like, let it be.
Got a couple comments.
Let that gimmick rest in peace.
I got a couple comments on the message board. One is, Becky should have taken both titles of Raw as Becky Two Belts. And Charlotte did call her Becky Two Belts during that segment too. She, you know, because she wanted to make sure that she would hand hers over before Charlotte would hand hers over or drop it to the ground before she would actually like hand it over. She wanted to make sure Becky was going to too. So it was kind of weird. So maybe there, you know what, Danger, there seems like a little bit of reality there, because she, remember, Becky kind of was holding it tight against her chest before she handed it over. So, but she, you know, she never technically did lose the Raw title, but she did hand it down, you know.
So you're saying what they should have done is an actual screw job there. And one of them doesn't hand the title over, but it's a whole, like, it's a whole shoot, basically.
You know,
that would have gotten some attention.
That would have been a heck of a lot better.
She put my Booker hat on this morning. Yeah.
She could have taken it and run out the ring and disappeared, and Charlotte never would have caught her in those high heels she was wearing. So, you know.
Where was SmackDown last night?
Tulsa.
Tulsa, yeah.
The Tulsa screw job. Let's go.
no, sorry. Wichita Falls.
Wichita Falls. Wichita.
Wichita Falls, Texas?
No, Kansas. Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is a weird place for them to have right after coming back from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
I was going to say, if it was Wichita Falls, oh boy.
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody slept, it looked like, when you saw them out there, too. You know, it looked like, man, any of them that were over at the Crown Jewel definitely looked like they hadn't slept. Another message from Rennie. Return of Ric Flair is happening this weekend. He's making an appearance at a CSA card show outside of DC.
His convention dates never stopped. He'd been continuously doing them ever since the Dark Side episode aired. So
Chantilly, Virginia.
He's calling himself the 21-time world champion now, though.
Good.
He's going with the legit number, not the WWE number.
Good, because then John Cena will never catch him. For a meet, and he's doing a meet and greet photo ops Sunday. Will the fans forgive? That's a good question. I don't, you know. Fans are willing to let stars do terrible things, you know, and we've seen it in the past. You know, people still, you know, and Ric Flair, I don't know if, you know, I mean, there's
you
a
mean
lot of
like XPW coming back.
Yeah, let's, you know, I want to talk about that because it's happening in a couple of weeks here in Rochester, New York. But
I shouldn't have said anything.
Well, you know, no, but you do make you know, the funny thing is this, there's XPW show. It's a big reunion show. It probably is going to be streamed someplace because they're not from Rochester. They never had show in Rochester ever, but they're having
it's
their
on Fight TV,
but they're having the reunion show in Rochester.
Man, it's not a reunion. There's okay. Like one guy who kind of wrestled there 18 years ago, and that would be Matt Cross.
So what about Homeless Jimmy? Everyone wants Homeless Jimmy back. So, I mean, it's like
who was it who lost their thumb?
That was
Messiah.
Yeah, Messiah. Yeah. He had it snipped
back
off.
Thumb coming
no.
back?
No, he had it snipped off. He had it clipped off by a mafia or by a I'm not gonna say mafia dude. Someone was paid to clip his thumb off. And that was on the
paid by the owner of XPW.
If you watched the Dark Side of the Ring this past week, they did an expose on XPW. Unfortunately, it was the lowest rated Dark Side of the Ring ever. But XPW is going to be having this big show here in Rochester. There's a lot of people on the card, some friends of ours, some people, you know, I mean, are not friends of ours who are part of it. But, you know, I mean, as we get closer, maybe we'll talk.
Yeah, I'm not a friend of Schlack. I just want to throw that out there.
Okay.
In case anybody was guessing. Yeah, no.
No, there's a few people but we do like Colin Delaney. And, you know, there's a few guys that are, you know, and also Willie Mack. So, but as we get closer, maybe we'll talk more about it. But I don't really want to give it too much time because the funniest thing is they think people are seeing this commercial for it because they're running the commercials during AEW and WWE shows. And people are thinking that it was here, and it never was here. Rob Black was here. He was the guy who grew up here in Rochester, made his money elsewhere doing other things, and Philadelphia is where it was. And, you know, XPW.
A lot of it was LA and stuff. But yeah, it's not. LA.
No, it's true. But when ECW closed down, XPW took all their spots, you know, in Philly. And they're the ones who tried to XPW tried to invade ECW pay-per-view, caused some problems during a pay-per-view, definitely had issues. And this is not when ECW was part of WWE. It was ECW when they were like struggling as a company terribly towards the end before WWE came in and, you know, and Stephanie McMahon bought them and brought them, you know, and blah, 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 you know, whatever. You know.
I don't want to get a ton of heat, but the difference was ECW had really good workers.
Well, I will say XPW.
If you bought tapes at FYE back in the day of XPW shows, I'm still looking to find that really good wrestling match.
Well, I will say that when ECW closed down, Raven went to XPW. So he there's a few guys.
New Jack was there, and I mean they brought in some people, but a lot of people that nobody had ever heard of before or since.
Yeah, Messiah, but you know, there's a few, homeless Jimmy. There's a few people.
Well, I will say this: what was I did not expect during the Dark Side of the Ring episode was Messiah being asked if it was like all worth it if he'd do it all over again. This is the guy who had his thumb chopped off, and word is that they were going to do more if it hadn't been broken up. The guys didn't have to flee, whatever. Like, he said yes, like he would do it all over again. And so, what?
He was supposed to have both his thumbs cut off, too.
Was XPW that big of a part of your life that you loved it so much that you don't care about losing your thumb and everything else that came, like, come on.
Yeah, you need that opposable thumb. I was shocked by that. You need that thing, you know? You can't do things without that opposable thumb, you know? Yeah, but he said
he was trying to open the door to get out, and he was just like waving at the door because he didn't have a thumb,
yeah,
which he could never find, which,
oh Lord,
we can speculate where that thumb exists these days, but like, I just don't.
It was a chicken nugget. I
was shocked to hear that. So yeah, maybe he enjoyed it more than we expected if he's saying that it was worth it in the end to go through all that. But I don't sign me up for anything like that.
You definitely want to go take a peek at this week's Dark Side of the Ring if you have not seen it yet about XPW, because they were
found. How was that the lowest rated one? Like who was the guy that was about the week before who I'd never even heard of?
Oh yeah,
how was that not the lowest rated one? I was looking forward to the XPW one, to be honest.
Yeah, there's some ones.
I just find it weird that Rob Black refused to be interviewed for it, but yet every single day he was promoting that there was an XPW Dark Side of the Ring and you got to watch it. And then I'm going to talk about it, blah, blah, blah. But like, he wouldn't agree to go on the show. Why? Cause he's going to get grilled about stuff he doesn't want to talk about.
They probably won't push his narrative. So
yeah,
I'm going to get my thumb chopped off if I keep talking about this.
Stop it. We'll talk about it more as it gets closer. It's not for, you know, another month or so. So, but, we've gone over an hour, Ken. Thank you, folks, who stayed with us. We got 16 or 17 still out there. We did George Rogers. I just saw you posted something about Eva Marie. Eva Marie is making a movie right now, and so we haven't seen her since September. She's making a movie for the WWE. I don't know.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, so it's a bummer, you know. But I mean, she's about as significant as she was the last time she was in this company, which doesn't mean anything because she wasn't. You know, remember they had like three matches where my strap on my bra have broke and now I can't wrestle because you'll have, you know, stupid things like that kept interfering with her matches, wardrobe malfunctions and whatnot. So I don't care. So we got this week coming up, we have Halloween Havoc on NXT 2.0, which is the closest we're getting to a pay-per-view or an extra show or, from 2CW for a while.
For who?
What? Sorry. NXT. Sorry. I'm looking at
it. It's funny because that reminds me of a time that one 2CW heavyweight champion, Sammy Callahan, who had just returned
Solomon
after his NXT stint, may have accidentally called 2CW NXT in the ring on the mic. And wow. I was just like, we're sitting there in commentary, like just looking at each other like, let's just brush past that.
Yeah. Oh, I was there. I remember that. Very cool dude, by the way. He was just an awesome dude. So
I really wonder how he would have factored into tonight's pay-per-view, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like maybe theoretically, I'm just throwing it out there. I could be totally wrong, but maybe that could have been the Callahan-Moxley match that a lot of us really want to see with their history and stuff. But maybe there could have been more crossover stuff. He was one of the main impact guys that I wanted to see crossover stuff with AEW talent,
and he was in the main event of Bound for Glory last year, I believe. So I believe he was he main evented against Kenny Omega in one of their pay-per-views in the last year, but I don't, maybe it's not Bound for Glory, but I thought he was like in the main event of Bound for Glory last year. But unfortunately breaking your ankle will stop you from being on this show, and but he'll be back. He definitely will be back, Sammy Callahan. We got some, but we got this NXT 2.0. I should just call it that, and I won't confuse it with 2CW anymore. Halloween Havoc going on Tuesday. It's a 2-hour show. Got Ciampa versus Bron Breakker or whatever the heck his name is. Scott Steiner Jr. or Rick Steiner Jr. I don't know what his real name is, but they're obviously NXT is now full blast into building new characters because they keep debuting new characters every week on the show and hoping that they get over. But you know, going to this show, most of these people are old school people who've been there for a while. But the cool thing about it is they're doing the spin the wheel, make the deal, on the pay-per-view, which is an Eric Bischoff thing from WCW.
Oh God, it's so bad.
It did it last year too. And I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think Johnny it's Garfino, fun when you actually do it when it's legitimate. If you're crazy enough to do that in a legitimate way, it's fun. But as soon as you can tell that it's worked, it's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, it definitely has worked. Because remember last year, they had the one match that they were doing the In Your House, weren't they, with the make spin the wheel, make your deal? And
I think that was it In Your House Halloween Havoc? I think it was the Halloween Havoc show.
Something similar to that.
Yeah, they call it, I just remember the dude jumping off the house, you know, so it was like, we got Raquel Gonzalez versus Mandy Rose, of course, spin the wheel. And who knows, it could be a high heels match. Who knows what it can be with Mandy Rose. I don't want to sell her short, but she doesn't have a lot of time in the ring. You know, we don't see her in the ring a lot. So I'm guessing it'll be some sort of gimmicky match. And maybe they want to put the belt on her. She's freaking super hot. I'll give her that. I
wouldn't doubt it. Honestly, this would, and now that they branched away from Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez being together, I don't see really much reason for Raquel to be on NXT anymore.
Yeah.
They should make it worth it for Mandy to go there too. So
yeah.
I mean, reward her with the title and
yeah. And I know they just did the draft, and so maybe it's a little bit late, and maybe my thoughts and plans aren't exactly what's going to happen, but I could see Raquel on the main roster. I mean, she's a, you know, physical specimen. She's a jack girl, you know, legit contender for, you know, a women's title. I mean, yeah. I could see her on the main roster pretty soon.
Also Adam Scheer's girlfriend, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yep. Braun Strowman, you might remember him as that guy. So we also got MSK versus Fabian Aichner. What's it, Aichner and Marcel Aichner. Barthel?
Yep.
Yeah.
With note on the MSK, did anybody hear the NXT crowd booing MSK this week?
They don't like him. They haven't liked from the start.
Yeah, so there's rumors out there that because one of them said that Izzy, that Bailey fangirl, shouldn't have been training at 13 years old. Is so her parents have gotten the NXT crowd to kind of rally around it, and now they're basically just booing because one of them said that a 13-year-old shouldn't be training. So
interesting,
kind of stupid.
Well,
they might have a point, you know. Very interesting. Well, I mean, MSK is still probably the most exciting tag team in NXT, so without a doubt.
Yeah. The thing about it that upsets me is it kind of goes against everything that the NXT crowd is known for. Like, you got the crowd that's super exciting, super hot, you know, pushing these stars, making it exciting, and now they're choosing to boo a guy because he has an opinion about a 13-year-old girl not training. Like, there's so many worse things you could boo about, and you're choosing that.
Yeah, well, Trey's probably happy he stayed, you know, in Impact Wrestling, okay? So maybe because he doesn't have to deal with that crap. But, we'll see. We have got a three-way for the women's NXT women's titles. Io Shirai and Zoe Stark are defending champions against Gigi Dolan and JC Jane versus Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada in a triple threat scareway to hell. So I'm trying to figure out. It'll be a ladder match, it sounds like to me, if it's, you know, scareway to hell ladder match for the, you know, and I have no idea. But the interesting thing about this whole night is Chucky the Doll is going to be there. Yeah, you guys look excited about that.
He was great in WCW when he was having the
Rick Steiner.
with Rick Steiner.
Yeah, with Rick Steiner.
So maybe he's got an issue with Braun Breaker because it's Rick's kid.
Yeah, you know, you could bring Rick out there and have him the gremlin woof a little bit. You know, woof, woof, woof. You know, yeah, Chucky the Doll is going to be there. And Solo Sikoa debuts too as well on the show. So
the other Uso is going to be there. Yep.
Oh, yeah, the other Uso. Well, you know, the one who he could have been, you know, I don't, there's a lot of guys, there's definitely a lot of guys that I'm not too thrilled about this spin the wheel, make the deal, but we'll see how it goes. It'll be definitely a solid show. And the best thing about it is I don't got to work any nights this week. So I don't have to miss anything. And I don't have to get up crazy hours or anything. So, but that we got a lot of wrestling this weekend still. If you guys have any questions in the chat room, just ask them. George Rogers said, Jaden, what's his name? Kipnis isn't getting over either. They are making him over.
I don't know.
It's supposed to be Karrion Kross.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Karrion Kross?
Yeah.
That one?
Yes.
They're changing his character again, apparently, and he's getting new theme music. And
well, you know, that's interesting.
He's going to be more psycho.
Yeah, you know, boy, George, what? Don't obsess over Eva Marie, buddy. She's not that worth it. Okay, I'm sorry. We gotta get out of here. We are at the end of the show, and I know we got everyone's got things to do. It's a Saturday. It's the Saturday before Halloween. I don't know if you guys have any Halloween parties to go to this weekend, but I hope you guys are all having it safe. I'm going to just do some news as we get out of here, you know, just some of the catch up with some stuff that we haven't mentioned yet. And it won't be Eva Marie stuff, okay? I promise you that. It will not be Eva Marie stuff. So right now, quick news. Lacey Evans had her baby. Lacey Evans and her husband welcomed their second child. And no, it wasn't Ric Flair's. It didn't come out wooing. It came out of the womb, but it wasn't wooing, okay? It may have wooned a few things on the way out, too, but... Oh, sorry. I had to go there. Kota Ibushi incurred a dislocated right shoulder during the G1 finals this past week. Man, that's pretty serious. Ibushi, super hot wrestler, is going to be out for a while. You dislocate your shoulder, that's a long time.
That was his fourth straight G1 final.
Yeah.
He was going for third win in a row, and then obviously Okada won the G1 this year.
That's not good. So Jim Hacksaw Dugan underwent emergency surgery this past week. He didn't really say what it was about. He made it through okay after being in the hospital for a couple days. You know, Jim being on the show many times, we send out our best to him. We definitely, hope he gets rehabs very quickly. And he looked good in the picture, though, laying in the hospital bed with his thumbs up. So no one gave him a 2x4, but they did not have to remove one from any particular part of his body either. So it was a real injury. So, John Cena's Wipeout's returning to TBS for a second season beginning in January. Might be recording that now as we're talking. It's very funny. If you've ever watched it, just the sarcastic remarks that come out of his mouth are hilarious. And his, I can't remember her name, his co-star. Very, very funny. Mentioned Daniel Garcia signed with AEW this past week. We're super happy for him. Cody Rhodes is going to be in a new tag team. He's going to be wearing a mask. It's going to be called Too Fast, Too Fuego. And
is that just a? I don't know if they're actually doing that. Are they doing a match tomorrow?
We will find out.
They're actually having a match.
Yeah, we'll find out. They're taping this at Universal, so we will definitely find this.
Been good stuff on Sammy's blog. So
yeah,
and you want to go to catch it right now? Universal, they're taping tomorrow. There's still tickets available if you want to go. Definitely.
If a masked Cody Rhodes hits a tornado DDT, that crowd's gonna come unglued.
Did you see the picture of the mask on? But his tattoo's just standing out. It's like it's not like
it's like Mr. America.
Well, I love how in the vlog they like try to censor it, but the censor thing is always so late, so you still see the tattoo anyways. I'm pretty sure it's done on purpose to be funny, but .
All right. Well, that's about it for this week, guys. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Ortiz. Thank you, Furby. Thank you, Danger. And we're going to get out of here. Go have a Saturday. We've done it an hour and a half. And look for the show. If you're in the Irondequoit area, it may show up on cable access channel 1301 Monday nights at 6 p.m. You'll see these lovely faces on TV talking pro wrestling every week. We're going to get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks. I do the things you never could, and we want-